Vardı da ne çabuk, dağı iki gün gibi sonun. Dola pinçe sanki rubur, şu sanki iki don suci çonun. Çancı vardı da ne çabuk, dağı iki gün gibi sonun. Dola pinçe sanki rubur, şu sanki iki don suci çonun. Şarkı bardı tane şaşırdı, dağın kökü gibi sunun. Dola pençe sanki rubayık o. Olaz, majana ki tatayla bir sanki tamci ciddiyordu. Tocalana mi bayan da bu zubi sanki ciddi kumbarı mı yıkıdı yıkıda başakı. Teto braşevi çeydu. Tabi çöğürüm bu cisteyle bir kulun sanki cistemci. Sizi sembe konu sembrik yok.
Let us cultivate the altruistic motivation seeking complete enlightenment for the sake of liberating infinite kind mother sentient beings. With that kind of bodhicitta motivation, that we should all participate in this teaching.
Anas, hangaran samalo ane sanji ji kompa thoye kani nyegi hore soncha ta sanji ji kompa thobre sheba la ane dhaba nyi pang ane cho nyi jo ane ane sanji ji kompa thogu yor bas ta ti anju ha go yor bas.
I believe that all of us are seeking complete enlightenment or Buddhahood as our ultimate spiritual goal. In order to get there or to accomplish complete enlightened state, as we all know by now, that it is a must for us to purify our mind of two types of mental obscuration and to complete the fulfillment of two types of accumulation of merit and accumulation of wisdom.
Ta de dwanyi se de ta du kin ta tu de na si de de na dwanyi ta ani dwanyi bo te ta hide ta nyu du ni shi ale tambo ngwa ni nyu du pang ko ga res.
If you are wondering what are the two types of mental obscuration that we must get rid of from within our selves, they are nyuntive, deluded obscuration or delusions, and obscuration to omniscience, or we call shedive, obscuration to omniscient knowledge. And so we need to abandon those two obscurations in order to get enlightened. Now, of those two obscurations, first we must get rid of delusions, and then obscuration to
omniscience.
And if you are wondering what are the kinds of delusion we are talking about, maybe we can categorize the delusions into three broad types or categories, if you will. There are delusions associated with or related with the desire realm of existence, or the desire world or universe, and there are delusions associated with or related with form world or form realm of existence, and then there are delusions associated with formless world or the formless realm of existence.
Depending on the
In terms of getting rid of those three different categories of delusions, again, first we must get rid of delusions associated with the desire world, and then delusions associated with the form world, and then the delusions associated with formless world. And of course, we can go and look, go into more details now what kind of delusions exist, you know, relating to the desire world. Of course, there are many things to talk about. For example, we can talk about the nine, you know, what called types of delusions associated with the desire world. And of course, now you keep on going into all details, this might just complicate the matter so much. And you know, you might get lost. So in the monastic universities, where we engage in very extensive and intensive studies and debate, we have to learn about, you know, each and every, if you will, this facet or the type of you know, delusions.
Yes. Come tell it, come soon, and was. Come soon, come soon, give me a message, losing goodness.
So, in other words, what I just you know, mentioned is this, that there are three different world systems or three realms of existence. There is the desire, there is the form, and there is the formless. And there are different types of delusion, if you will, associated with each of these world systems. So when we look, you know, at the structure of samsara or cyclical existence, if you will, what does it really look like? What different states of, you know, exist within samsara? There are many different levels, you know, that we can find within samsaric existence. In the formless world system, there are four different levels, and there is what called the peak of samsara, the top of samsara, cyclical existence, sisi. Now that's the highest point of existence in samsara, and there are delusions associated with that level. And even if we go all the way up to the highest level in samsara, called the peak level of samsara, you know, if we don't transcend it, don't go beyond that, we could fall, you know, into the lower levels of existence, and we could still be going round and round and round in samsara. See, so our goal is not to go round and round in samsara, but to get out of samsara. So the basic principle or the point I'm trying to make here is that we should understand there are many forms of delusion within each of our own mind. So in terms of getting rid of the delusions, abandoning them, first we have to deal with the grosser forms of delusions, and then we try to get rid of the subtle and subtler forms of delusion. So I feel that's really important for us to understand, because it seems like, you know, we as Dhamma practitioners, often it seems that, you know, as we engage in a spiritual practice or into the spiritual you know, path, you know, we have this high expectation, almost like we want to grab the, you know, the greatest outcome or the result that we could have. And we kind of somehow have a tendency to undermine or look down on the, what we call the sort of the other types of outcomes, or the smaller versions of the outcomes, or the, you know, smaller level practices.
Teng zane yong ge sanje tomde de ta te in de ta kan na ya da da na ye ge ta gong zhen je ba bu ta a ko nan zo sung di zane bang zhe qie ren ni bang shi tao zhe di qiong ren tao shi dan na yo de ta cha ge yo shi.
But if we study what is being said by Buddha in his discourses or sutras, and what has been elucidated by the great commentators or in the shastras, if you will, is this, that we should try to get rid of first the gross forms of delusions or the coarser forms of delusions. And in terms of attainment, what we achieve or accomplish, we achieve the small spiritual goals or the smaller levels of realization. So we get rid of the coarse forms of delusions, and we accomplish the lesser levels of attainment or the smaller levels of attainment.
So that ngaran sa undusya rang yu susan pangbi na rang juli yepi ani ta nyomo rakbat ng sumel pangko ta pangtuya.
So in other words, the point I'm trying to make here is based upon what Buddha and the great commentators of his teaching said, is that as we bring this point home, so to speak, look within each of ourselves, that, okay, the first thing I need to get rid of the coarse forms of delusions, the gross forms of delusions that I have, and then I will be able to deal with and get rid of subtle forms of delusion. And the same point is, kind of a reinstated or reemphasized in the Lojong practice, the mind training or the thought transformation practice. And many of you probably remember this already, as Geshe-la quoted the line from his memory, where basically the Lojong text says, the mind training text says, that we must first deal with whatever delusions are predominant, you know, dominating our mind. So those are the delusions we must first get rid of.
So the jaranche Lojong tendu mak mabu hu erwas ta no je tendu mak ali ma sawa jaranche erwa te te nyomon kanjing hna jangs.
So if you are familiar with the 7-point mind training fundamental text, you can just go back and check with that. There is this particular line or statement which says, "Nyomon kangsheng wen le jiang," meaning get rid of the predominant delusions first.
Da yong qing ma de ha re shi, gui de bei nyomon de huan ma bang ba.
And this point really relates to what I was, I mentioned earlier, that first we must get rid of delusions associated with the desire world system, and then the delusions associated with the form world system, and then the delusions associated with the formless world system. If we don't get rid of the delusions of desire world systems, there is no way that we can get rid of the delusions associated with the higher levels of existence in samsara. So going back to the 7-point mind training or the Lojong text, which says that get rid of the predominant delusions first. Of course, we have to really apply that teaching to ourselves personally. This is not something to check, if others are doing it or not. We have to just look within ourselves. Okay, now I want to find out, what kind of delusions are predominant in my own mind system. Now, if we look at the things we probably might share quite a bit is the 10 negative actions, which are, prompted by delusions. And so we really need to pay attention to this and try to get rid of any of the 10 negative actions we have already accumulated, or not to do them again.
So, sanu tang ni ane luji gono so ke bodu pakka kantu shi na gon ju chama chu ju nga che ge bodu pe pakka tang ko tu shi da ga ni na yi ji gon na se ne so lo da da den ju chama gon di da ni ma re le du mang bo jing gon ju ge se se den ju pa yu de tang ni pakka ai de ne ba de sang tong ge da chu dong ke so
So as Dharma practitioners or as you know, individuals interested in practicing spirituality in our everyday life, you know, as we lead our life, we should also be mindful of our actions of body, speech, and mind, and we should do self-examination, that is, you know, am I doing any of the three negativities of the body, such as killing, you know, am I killing, you know, someone? Am I doing any of the four negativities of the speech, such as lying and cheating? Am I doing any of the three negativities of the mind, such as covetousness? And so it's really important in our everyday life, as we lead our life, to be mindful of our own actions. So the point here is not to do the negative actions. So again, you know, I want to bring back the reason why, you know, we should be mindful of our actions, our body, speech, and mind, and not to indulge in negative actions. All of us share this, you know, aspiration of the wish that we do not want to be reborn in any difficult situations or unfortunate states of existence, such as hell. I mean, who wants to go to hell, you know? And who wants to be a hungry ghost? You know, who wants to be in the lesser kind of animal world? And because these are not the pleasant situations to be in, and as a matter of fact, nobody who is sane, you know, would like to be in any difficult states of a rebirth. Now, that being the case, so now we have to do something not to be reborn in those situations, you know, and not to do the negativities, and purifying our negativities, the necessary actions or the practices, the causes to prevent our rebirth in difficult situations.
Ani gele, re megewale ta ngendo tang gele dendo tamjis. Jeza megewin jebe te nami te ani ngendo shegres. Gewa jobina dendo komba togres te kanando.
And I have quoted these words of a great Indian master Arya Nagarjuna before, and many of you have heard these words. And Geshe-la quoted the lines again from Nagarjuna's work, which says, bad migration or unfortunate rebirths come from negativities, negative karmas. Good migration or the fortunate rebirths come from positive karmas or actions. So the lines I just quoted are from the Precious Garland or the Ratnavali, one of the great works of Arya Nagarjuna. Of course, Nagarjuna just did not come up with these ideas you know, on his own. He is basically commenting on what Shakyamuni Buddha himself said in his discourses or sutras. And one of the most famous statements of Shakyamuni Buddha that we often quote is, Divacchaya Mijashi, never do or accumulate any kind of negativity. Okay? 개와 표준 소바제 always accumulate wealth of virtue or positive actions. 랑게 샘네 용수드 completely subdue your mind. 디네 상게 담바인. This is the teaching of Buddha. That's the very famous quote from Buddha. So Buddha himself said that we must not do anything that is negative, negative karma. Why? Because negative karma leads to suffering and that we don't want, or all kinds of things we don't want, problems and difficulties, they arise from negativity. So therefore, don't do it. Okay? We should do the virtue or the positive thing because we all like to have all the pleasant outcomes. We would like to have peace, happiness, prosperity, success, and all this good stuff, as you might say, come out of positive actions. So therefore, accumulate the wealth of virtue.
아니 산지 공파다 소소에니 대원이 대원 거의 상당비이나 아니 때 제발지 맞잖아 아니 왜 가고 가니 이제 지름이 가난도 람초 둘 생이 참이 때 많이 받도 사초 이런 거 말했다 근데 지금 때 야고 장보기 많이 받들 아니 람 건 양 건이 건도 돼야겠다 아니 너태 야말 사초 있을 정도 두고 말했을 거는 그래서 그게 좀 장도
So if we are thinking like, okay, so if I'm reborn in unfortunate states of existence such as hell or hungry ghost, so what's the big deal? Okay. Well, what's the big deal is once we get there, it is, you know, very hard, you know, to get out of such existence. Because basically we will not be able to do much of positive actions. And so for us to be able to, as we say, migrate from happy state to happy state or happier state even. So it is very important for us to find a special life basis, the kind of life basis that we are enjoying right now. Because of this precious human life that we are able to, make most out of our life and opportunities so that we do not have to go into difficult situations, but we can basically move from happy to happier state of existence. And as a matter of fact, Manjushri Lama Tsongkhapa, or Jerenboche, as said elsewhere, and again Geshe Lo quoted the lines from his memory, basically Jerenboche said, if we are to accomplish the, what we call the supreme path, then it is very important for us to find what he called fully characterized life basis, without which it will be very hard to make progress or advancement. And if we would like to have really great progress and advancement in our spiritual development, then it is really important to find a suitable life basis, the kind that we enjoy at this moment. And then Jerenboche continues to say that, okay, so that is important to find a fully characterized life basis for making great advancement. But then that life doesn't come on its own. It's not going to happen just by coincidence or by osmosis or something like that. You know, it has to arise from its necessary causes and conditions. So therefore, it all makes sense and logical that we should be accumulating the necessary causes and conditions to have a suitable kind of life basis. Okay, but if we are not, if we don't accumulate the necessary causes and conditions, yeah, we do some, but we miss others, then again, we won't be able to have, the fully characterized suitable life basis. Because this is in the law of nature, right? If we don't create any negativities, we will never have to worry about suffering and bad things happening. Because that's in the law of nature. If you don't do negative things, why should you suffer, right? But if you want the happiness and the positive things, then we have to create good karmas, because without good karmas, they don't come about. So it's all in the law of nature.
Mm-hmm. 아니 내 양발 마셔야 다 다가는 게 유연대 고마 타야 다 되는 거 말은 제 대신이 어른 이게 나고 뒤 줄 말라나 말은 장발 자 컴퓨터 좀 시야가 되게 아니 되는 게 가고 좀 맥은 되고 잔 생각 말이야 왜나 힘받는 다 빼는 없이 그러나 힘받는 저거 아니 사변 힘갈 사변 잔 맞다 보시 나 땡큐 핀저버 영화 쇼 삼니 말은 제지는 용근 배 tapi yang gue nanti orang cuma mana jadi tambah cuman bed nanti gue des, jadi kalang tu cuman masih bersih ni, ini bed nanti gue doas, tu yang mindu as.
And I also want to point out that as important as it is to do prayers and to do dedications of merit, but if we don't create the necessary causes and conditions, simply aspiring for something good to happen, or simply wishing for something to happen, that is not likely to happen. Okay? Again, a simple example that I could give is, like, say, a farmer, right, who really wishes, you know, the greatest, you know, I mean, crop that he could even imagine, and he just make a great prayer for that, you know, aspirational prayer, but if he's not going to work, not going to create the necessary causes and conditions, not going to sow, you know, how to say, cultivate his field, is he really going to have any bumper crop? He's not likely to have. Yeah, praying is good, but, okay, it's not going to work. So like that, you know, it's good to make prayers, good to do dedication, but if we don't create the necessary causes and conditions for, spiritual attainments, for success, for happiness and all of that, then we are not likely to have them.
Lalin takores. Chu lalin matana, then the pig gayat. Savin sal matana, then to you munda was. Then nagi, ngaransu, chu hena, chu the lalin makrana, langur majina, papanguet, papang, chu languet, chu majina, and it tilly, manage of a tangi ending aransu and jabut in junior copperis, the ingumaris, meet the hugueris.
So the point I'm making here is that we really need to practice, you know, what we learn about Dharma. Because we may know quite a bit, you see, but that is just an intellectual knowledge. If we don't put what we understand about Dharma into practice, then maybe we are not, I mean, it's very unlikely that we will experience all the outcomes in Dharma that we talk about. And that makes sense, like a farmer who wants to grow a particular kind of crops must sow the seeds of those crops into the field, then he can hope to have something. But if simply wish things to grow out of nothing, that's not going to happen. You know, he can make all the prayers, but that's not going to work. And so practice is a key here, and there's no substitute to the practice. We may know a lot about Dharma, but, you know, without practice, not much is going to change inside us, is not much is going to happen. What does practice really mean is, as we often say, we need to abandon the things we need to get rid of, right? Delusions, negativities, and so on. We need to cultivate, you know, good qualities, the positive actions. So the practice involves these two things, abandonment and cultivation.
Ani pena ani ri lalin makan na te law zin de pen so ma kes chak jum ma kes ya ta de ji khang de na yong ge ar bas ani che ani den zu ban law ba zin de ge ko so ma kes ya yuan zhen so de so ke ba pang ge ar es chak jum ma kes chak jum se ba pang ge ar es te lalin se ge es.
So some might think that, okay, I'm really reading a lot of book about Dharma, you know, which is good, but reading books is not the same as practicing Dharma. You know, you might read about, like, all this kind of negativities, you know, do not kill, do not lie, do not cheat, do not do this, do that, and you find it very interesting. But if you just stop at that, you know, then it's really, you're not practicing it. Once we read it, say, do not kill, that means then we should really, should not kill anyone, you know. Don't lie, that's bad, means don't lie. It doesn't mean just read about it, you know. Okay, that's kind of interesting there. Yeah. There shouldn't be a gap between what we read and what we do.
Nah, sama lah. Ngaran cebing, ngaran sama lah. Ini kecik mukibur is. Cui sehat tepe, 이게 야 남국님 여등이라고 지기다 지 하하 전도 시에 근데 말이 생부터 상당 문이 되는 건 상은 나왔다.
As I often said that when I, of course I'm giving teaching and addressing these issues, but I always include myself in the audience. So I'm telling myself as much as I'm telling you, all these things. So we really, it's important for us to really, be practical in many ways. Sometimes we might, get this notion, oh, I'm into Dharma, so it has to be mystic and in the kind of a cyberspace thing, in this abstract world, Dharma, oh my God, there's somebody visualizing up in the, space. Well, that's too high. We don't know in the cyberspace what's happening. But really down on the earth, say, what am I doing? What am I thinking? What am I saying? How am I leading my life? You see, that's what we're talking about. Not just go into some kind of a, mental trip, into outer space.
Begins that little, Mary got into the,
yes. So don't get too much caught up with, miracles and, this and, that and, all those, mystified stuff. So of course, we do hear a lot of story about the practitioners and who narrate their story about okay, they had a vision of Aryatara, maybe they had a vision of Manjushri, they had a vision of Avalokiteshvara. Well, that's wonderful, okay. But then according to some great masters, we should not necessarily be so much caught up with having a visions of this deity and that deity and all that. But what really is important is if we always keep in our practice and in our thought and mind that what I'm really, my guru, or the, which means qualified spiritual guru, I should put in a footnote, is inseparable from any of these meditational deities. If I can always be mindful of my guru being inseparable from the deities, that's all that we need. That includes everything. So, that statement includes that, because if we are always mindful of a guru and guru's words, that means we always try to, put as much as we can the words of guru into practice, right? Because guru is so important. We see guru as being inseparable from the deities and whatnot. So then it's so precious and so empowering and inspiring that we basically want to, do what guru tells us to do. One of the major obstacles we as Dharma practitioners experience in our life, all of us, is our grasping at permanence of life, and which always gives us the wrong message. Okay, that as if we are going to live forever. Okay, you're just fine, you're young, you're not that old. You're not that young, but not that old. So we still have tons of years to live, although we really don't know. And so it just keeps us misfeeding all this information, and we keep on believing them like, okay, I'm just fine, I'm just, not going to die anytime soon. And then it just hits us, and then we are caught by surprise and helpless. So in that way, when we follow the, dictate or the dictation of this order of the grasping and permanence of life, we miss all the opportunity to do Dharma practice. We just, don't really care too much about all the negativities, we find ourselves doing, And so we end up, doing all kinds of negativities, Yeah. So that's why the great masters always advise us that it is so fortunate that we have found this precious human life, fully endowed human form. Basically, we can do any kind of practice, but at the same time, just get real. This life is impermanent. You know, it's not here forever. Okay? However wonderful this life is, it is a transient, it is ephemeral, it is impermanent. Okay? So if we kind of be mindful of that dimension or the impermanent aspect of our life, then we will act better, right? If we just practice as if, I don't know if I'm going to die today, I better do my practice or behave as best as I can. Well, that doesn't mean we have died today, right? We might live whatever the karma decided it, you know. But if we think about I might die any moment, doesn't mean we will die, have to die, you know. So in that way, we become very vigilant. We become very mindful of our actions, thought processes, and practice. But on the other hand, if we ignore the impermanent aspect of our life, then we think like we are here forever, you know, and then we will lose opportunities to practice Dharma and, you know, find ourselves in doing many wrong things.
So, अनि चुडने तुमडे थयाते अनि मताबे कुने नुसिंता मतापाते अनि चुडंगे जो थोंदा पर्सन के छवाच रेस
रियलाइज मास्टर्स हैव यू नो यूनानिमसली एग्रीड विद दिस दैट अवेयरनेस ऑफ इंपर्मनेंस ऑफ लाइफ एंड थिंग्स इज अ वेरी आई मीन इट्स अ सोर्स ऑफ इंस्पिरेशन एंड अ वेरी मोटिवेशनल फैक्टर इफ यू रियली थिंक अबाउट द इंपर्मनेंस ऑफ लाइफ एट द बिगिनिंग It inspires us, it instigates us, it motivates us to do practice, you know, to do the things in the right way. Okay? In the middle, it helps us to nurture our practice, to nurture our spiritual development. Of course, at the end, it helps us to accomplish, you know, what we really decide, you know, we would like to accomplish. So therefore, awareness of impermanence of life and things is so important in our spiritual life and spiritual development. So just as awareness of impermanence is so important, as we would say, at the beginning, in the middle, at the end, when we think in terms of spirituality as a lifespan practice or development, in the same way from Mahayana perspective, from the perspective of Bodhisattva's point of view, development of great compassion is as such. It is, you know, very important, you know, at the beginning, in the middle, and at the end.
Tā kārī āsā na, nīyē chāmbā rāndhī lī shēvē yē na, anē shāngyū jī sāmbī chē nē, tūvā chāmbī lām lē, tāmbō mbā ngō chūn hūyā tē, nīyē chāmbū nāngu yā rēs.
So how is great compassion important at the beginning, if you ask? Well, if we have cultivated great compassion, then great compassion gives rise to bodhicitta, bodhisattva's attitude. So when we have bodhicitta, then we have entered into the Mahayana path. And also, once we have developed bodhicitta, what really motivates us to engage in the actions of bodhisattvas, the deeds of bodhisattvas to benefit all sentient beings, again, it's the great compassion. Great compassion is always nudging us, you know, always, you know, motivating us to engage in bodhisattva actions. So if you're thinking, you know, what do bodhisattva actions or deeds involve, you know, the bodhisattva's actions basically include the six perfections from generosity to the wisdom, and there is what we call the four points of gathering sentient beings and maturing their minds, such as, you know, pleasant speech.
But the name is Sajjaniya.
So So at the beginning, great compassion gives rise to bodhicitta, so we enter into really the Mahayana path. In the middle, great compassion is always, you know, motivating us to engage in the bodhisattva actions or the deeds to benefit sentient beings. Then at the end, when we become a Buddha, completely enlightened being, again, the great compassion doesn't let us sit idly, so to speak, that it always motivates us, okay, now is the time to turn the wheel of Dharma, to teach Dharma, to, you know, benefit sentient beings through teachings. So what I've just explained, it could be supported by the great words of Indian master Acharya Dharmakirti in his valid cognition text of Pramana Vartika. And again, Geshe-la quoted the line, which says, like, you know, if we are kind of wondering, how could bodhisattvas do so much for sentient beings, you know, and how, you know, and how could one become a Buddha? And once one become a Buddha, how Buddhas really work so tirelessly for sentient beings? Then here, according to great Dharmakirti, he says, Drupja Tuja Komala De, it's basically through the power of familiarization with great compassion, they are able to do all that. See, when we cultivate great compassion, we cultivate more and more intimacy with this great compassion, enhance it, you know, to the greatest extent possible. This is called a familiarization. So by the power of such intimacy with great compassion, that we could do all the things bodhisattvas are able to do and all the things that Buddhas are able to do. So I thought, you know, sharing those ideas, you know, would be helpful to one and all of us here. You know, maybe for some of you, this is not a new information. Maybe this serves as a reminder, rather, you know, what we should be thinking about. And for some new people, this may be a new information, so at least you get something to contemplate, to ponder upon, and to meditate on.
Thank you very much.
So we're returning to where we left off in this wonderful text called A Miscellaneous Collection of Kadamba Geshe's Advices. And so the third major point is that we need to cultivate what is called thingizin, samadhi or concentration or meditative absorption, some translate as. Of course, there are many ways to cultivate concentration, but three main practices are talked about here. And just to repeat them, they are to abide by the pure ethics or morality, to supplicate lineage gurus or the masters, and to isolate our body and mind from, you know, hustle and bustle, which Geshe-la loves to hear. So there's the one. And so now when we talk about concentration or thing is that what I'm really talking about is it is a state of mind where, like, if we would like to, you know, focus on a phenomenon or a subject or object, you know, that we want to really make our, as if we want our mind to sit very silently and quietly on that object. Can we do that? You see, that kind of a stability of the mind is called thingizin, concentration.
Rang sem la wang jowa po chungbi na ane ta khar sigol ta ane rang mi kar si mi ba khar chi li mi bi gen ta ante ne to ba ta ane kar sigol ta ta chem ba chi ta mi ba ti mi ne ane chum de sa il ta le sa yo ne
And I said this before, but I'm going to repeat it again here, that if we develop stability of the mind, which is called concentration, if we let concentration rule our mind, then, you know, whatever object we want to direct our mind to, okay, and place our mind on whatever object, that our mind will be able to stay on it, you know, fix on it. And that kind of the stability of the mind is so important to accomplish all kinds of spiritual outcomes. I think these days many people seem to love to do meditation and cultivate concentration and samadhi. So it seems like, okay, I am the samadhi meditators, which is nice. But also we have to be, look at the thing from all sides and angles. Is that the only thing that's needed, you know, to get wherever we want to go spiritually? The answer is no. As important as it is to cultivate concentration, but just simply achieving concentration or stability of the mind is not enough to get anywhere much, really. Because concentration has no power to get rid of the delusions in our mind. Okay, it can help us to get rid of delusions, but concentration is not the antidote to delusions. And again, I'm not saying it just on my own. In the words of Manjushri Lama Tsongkhapa Jerumbuche, again, Geshe-la quoted lines, which says that it's so important. He says that mere concentration, single-pointed concentration, the emphasis is on the word mere. Or having single-pointed concentration alone, that's the Tibetan word sam, okay, does not have the power to uproot delusions and get out of samsara. So, single-pointed concentration alone is not adequate. It does not have the power to uproot delusions from within our mind. But at the same time, you know, we cannot uproot delusions without it either. You see, we do need to cultivate wisdom or the special insight, vipassana, to get rid of delusions. But without concentration, we won't be able to develop a strong enough vipassana insight to get rid of delusions. See, so what we really need is we need, you know, this combination of shamatha, so the calm abiding, which is a form of concentration, and vipassana or special insight. When we integrate those two paths, right, we have the stability of the mind, we have the wisdom, then, you know, through that integrated approach, we will be able to get rid of delusions. So Geshe-la completed the whole the quotes from Lama Tsongkhapa, which are very poetic and very profound, and unfortunately your translator have no capacity to do on the spot justice here, but I could do my best to translate the meaning here, which is so they use the metaphor of special insight or vipassana as like the horse rider, okay? And calm abiding or the single-pointed concentration here is like the horse, right? So if there is a powerful horse rider riding a powerful horse, and then he or she holds this powerful weapon of the reasoning of the middle path, okay? So with that, all of that assembled together, he or she can definitely cut through, defeat, you know, the network of misconceptions, especially grasping at self. Okay, so that's, I mean, in a very poetic and metaphorical sense, it is presented. So basically, that what we are talking about here is this: that the real antidote to delusions is the wisdom that perceives emptiness as it is. Okay, but in order to cultivate that wisdom, we also need to cultivate calm abiding or concentration. Concentration alone cannot do the job. You know, it is wonderful, but it does not have the power to uproot the delusions. So concentration can help assist the wisdom realizing emptiness to cut through the delusions. And the root delusion that we have is grasping at the true existence of I or the self. Okay. So now I hope we will get the picture that how we need to find this integrated approach of concentration and wisdom realizing emptiness to cut through our delusions.
嗯，台湾那一个，你，他，啊，多呢，下中去那样，啊，你等于这个学了，但甚至三年不等于找到了，给你等下把的用过回来。嗯。
So even when we look, you know, within the perspective of Tantra or Vajrayana, you know, or from that perspective, that concentration and wisdom realizing emptiness are indispensable. Because even in the tantric practice, you know, when we think about this, well, I'm going to do the deity yoga meditation, visualization of deities and mandalas and everything, you know, which is considered a very speedy path and all that, but without concentration and without the wisdom realizing emptiness, we cannot practice Tantra. Now, I should clarify this point. When I said that without concentration and wisdom realizing emptiness, we cannot practice Tantra, you know, what I really meant is, of course, you know, at our stage, we are using much of the imaginative power, the power of the mind to visualize stuff, because most of us really don't have concentration, don't have the wisdom realizing emptiness, don't have bodhicitta, don't have great compassion, don't have all of that, you see. But yet we are practicing Tantra. That is fine. I mean, so long as we try to integrate great compassion, bodhicitta, wisdom realizing emptiness, as much as we can in our thought processes, in our meditation and visualization, and then do the deity yoga practice, you know, this is how we will be able to have the actual realizations, you know, later on. So now if we honestly assess our own situation, you know, in terms of doing like kind of a, what do you call it, you know, taking the stock of our positive actions and negative actions, like here, say, okay, now where do we stand right now? And so all of us, I'm not just simply talking, you know, to you, just looking at myself, that when we look at how much positive actions or the wealth of virtue we have accumulated, we are really basically like a poor beggar. You know, we don't have much. Yeah. Now when we look at how much delusions and negativities we have, we are just extremely rich. Just like we have a whole like a treasure house of the delusions and negativities, and this is where we stand right now, as you know, I'm tragic and as sad as it is, you know. Of course, I can go on talking about this stuff. Maybe that's a good point to stop there, right? So, food for thought.
All right. dende ge dengin jite ene je gore je se ta to ma so ba dengin jin de ran le ma so ba top top she ba le je se gore se je de ti je she ba ta ji ji je ya le ane thap mang bo yore se di thap mang bo gon ta ali ge chi jin nan de sum tang ten nang do wa stand de tan chi sa so
So we need to find concentration or search for, meaning that we need to cultivate concentration or samadhi that we don't have. And there are many ways or techniques to do that. And three ways are mentioned here.
That children number takwa de songwa de. Children number takwa songwa de kei chimbo chichagwa de. Children number takwa songwa de kei chimbo chichagwa de. Children number takwa songwa de kei chimbo chichagwa de.
So as we said earlier, if we abide by the pure discipline or moral ethics, that is a major practice or a cause to cultivate concentration. Why? If our life is disciplined, our life is going to be much less hectic and crazy because we won't be distracted by zillions of things. We stay focused, we are not being distracted by many things. We make time to cultivate practice. We're not running around, wandering out, nowhere. And therefore, as you can see, this really helps us to cultivate samadhi. So what is involved in this observing pure ethics is, we are disciplining us, ourselves and our senses, if you will. We need to restrain our sense from following different objects so that we get distracted.
Kare insa na, ane, mek zula cha, nawe dala cha, nawe da dala cha, ke rola cha, luhi ke ene rizala cha, dosi ni, ta tinde ke ta, shao mangpo hibuji tinde to ne, shao mangpo hibuji leyun kwa resu.
Now, if you're wondering why do we need to discipline or restrain our sense doors, as we would say, is because, now think about this, because we have good eyesight, what does our eyes do? They always follow after the things which are attractive and beautiful and chase them. Okay, so life becomes extremely busy. Now, what do our ears do? They're always following the pleasant sound and the speech and everything that is nice to hear. Okay, so what do our nose do? It always runs after the good smell and get mad with the bad smell. And what about the tongue do? It always chases the delicious food and great taste. And then what do our tactile power or consciousness do? It always follows the touch, the pleasant touch and the smooth touch and all the nice touch. So as all our sense doors are open and they chase all their objects, life becomes extremely hectic and busy. So those who observe pure ethics and discipline, right, then their life is not going to be hectic like that. So imagine that, if we stop chasing, if we shut the sense doors, if we could, for whatever time, we are not going to chase them, how much time we are left with? So what else to do? Now we can just focus on our object of meditation. That's the only thing we could do. There's nothing to chase around, So that's how, the stability of the mind is cultivated and developed. Of course, I try to give you a brief explanation of everything, and I think this would serve a good purpose at the moment. Now, as you learn more things, and then of course you can add and expand your thinking, right? You can enhance your meditation as you learn more about different aspects of Dharma. Now the second practice that's important for cultivating concentration is supplicating lineage spiritual gurus or masters. By lineage, what we mean is that the gurus from whom we have not received teachings directly. Now, we have gurus from whom we receive teaching directly. Now, these are our what we call root gurus or direct gurus, right? We hear, you know, directly teachings from them. But there are teachers, you know, that our teachers' teachers, right? And we can trace back, you know, who is my teacher and who is his teacher or her teacher and who is the teacher of that. So you go back, you know, great teachers, the great grand teachers, and we'll go all the way back to the Buddha. So those are the lineage masters,
you know.
So when we say supplicate them, what do we mean by supplicate them? Means we need their blessings and inspirations. We said, you know, please bless us to be able to transform our mind, direct our mind into Dharma, spirituality. Please bless us and inspire us so that we are able to succeed in cultivating spiritual path. Please bless and inspire us so that we are able to complete our spiritual journey, you know, without much obstacles. So this is what we do in our supplication. Now the third practice that's important for cultivating samadhi or concentration is, as we said, cultivating solitude, isolating our body and mind, you know, be in a solitude. Now that's important. The Tibetan term wenpa literally means to isolate or solitude. Okay, I mean, usually when we talk about isolation, probably we are more likely to take it to mean that, okay, you are not going to associate with too many people. You're just going to be alone by yourself. You know, that's an isolation, right? If you are just, you know, don't want to live in a very crowded place, you just go to the furthest distance from that crazy place and live somewhere in a, you know, peaceful place. That is an isolation too. But here, we are talking about, yes, that kind of physical isolation or solitude, as well as, isolating our mind as well from, you know, busyness. So physical isolation could be understood as that we do not just go and cultivate crowds and, you know, be with and socialize with them and get busy, but we physically isolate ourselves from the crowd and the hectic and craziness and, you know, be in a solitude physically. Now that's what it means. Of course, as we are talking about this again, I would like to remind that we have to, you know, just think about one's own self. Okay, where do I stand, and how do these things apply to me personally? Okay, don't worry about other people. And so now we need to isolate our mind. Our mind has to be in a solitude, meaning that our mind should be isolated from all kind of the busy thought processes, worries and concerns and, you know, negative attitudes and thoughts and, you know, all this busy thing happening in the mind, you know, all what we call the preconceptions, you know, conceptual thoughts. Because these are distracting our mind. These are making our mind so busy. Okay. So we try to isolate our mind from all those busy thought processes. So in order to cultivate samadhi or concentration, so we need to, cultivate both types of isolation, physical isolation as well as mental isolation.
So 되야래다 릴하고요.
So, you know, if we isolate ourselves physically from noise, crowds, and all the hecticness, well, that will facilitate the development of concentration, as we can see. If we isolate our mind from busy worries, anxiety, you know, concerns, and all kinds of, you know, issues in the mind, then that will facilitate the cultivation of concentration.
대단하게다 등이 됐어도 세야 안 된저 아니 대숨 어 대숨 코나 체신 됐다. 네 체신에 보다 저 뒤에 대숨 온다는 되고 돌아.
So here in the text, great Geshe Domtanpa goes on to say that in order to cultivate shamatha, calm abiding or mental tranquility, and also vipassana or special insight or wisdom. But those three things we just talked about, you know, are very important practices, because those three things, practices could subsume or include other auxiliary practices within this. To summarize the point here, that if we would like to cultivate calm abiding or mental quiescence, mental tranquility, we would like to cultivate special insight of vipassana, then we need to do these three things. We need to observe pure ethics, we need to supplicate the lineage masters for blessings, inspiration, and we need to isolate our body and mind from hustle and bustle. Yeah. And then we will be, we will succeed, you know, in our practice. And here it says that if we put together, integrate those nine practices, okay, now we started off with three key points, remember, each key practice is supported by three subsidiary of practices, so therefore we have, you know, in this case, the nine practices come out of those related to the three key points. So if we put them together, you know, have an integrated practice, then we will be able to cultivate the two types of bodhicitta, very powerfully. And if we really practice well, the two types of bodhicitta will spontaneously, ngamang shushu, it will like spontaneously arise, in our mind. And so Geshe-la would like to say that, relating to that, because there are nine points we talked about, you know, and some of you might say, okay, what are the other points? You know, we already discussed those before. And so he would like to give you an assignment here, because for the next several weeks, Geshe-la would not be able to teach. So we are going to have a break of his teachings, but at the same time, Geshe-la would like to give us assignment, you know. So there's a break and no break at the same time, I think. So that's my understanding.
This group, Tenda Gobuti. Tenda Gobuti, any.
So as we said at the end here, if we know the nine points of the practices really well, we really understand them well, we try to put them into practice, then we are on a way to succeed, you know. On a successful way to cultivate the two types of bodhicitta. So he wants to make sure that everybody understands the nine points. And so he said, so that's your homework. We talked about all of this before, and go and find out about this, and make sure take notes, and so when we return, means he shall return to teach, that, so he wants to check with us, and so we should have the answer. So this could open book thing, but you know, you got to know. Open book exam here. Yeah. Nice.
저한테 무슨 위험하다는 거예요?
So Kishala says, you know, don't cheat. So don't ask me because I have the text. See, I have the textbook. So he says, I cannot be part of that because I have the textbook, part of the exam. So after all, it's not an open book. So I guess you get to discuss and, you know, find out.
아니, 그게 언제 내주게 누가?
나를 왜 이렇게?
이거는 특히 그런 식으로 쓰는.
Is there an English translation of this text based on Geshe Wangjo's work, something like that? Yeah?
There was a copy made.
Okay, that was a copy made. Okay.
It was captured from, from a book, but it's not a very good translation.
Mm-hmm. But it has all the points, right?
Yeah, I mean,
people like some translations, don't like. That's a different point. But yeah, if those are the points, yeah, maybe good.
That one I need to hear.
So, so we stopped there today, and I wanted to just announce that we will keep a break for a couple of weeks, actually until somebody go to check the calendar. I think January 14th. Is that a Sunday?
Seven.
I know we checked. It's 14th. So, you know, I always check with the Geshe-la. You know, whatever other things happen, 14th. You know, not the 7th. 1 week after 7 is 14th. What day is that? Sunday. That's all I want to take. Okay.
Karin is na. That transfer line is great. Na itesi meeting itesi meju shegu tos. Jadi insani doctor segdu ni tongu yas. Ina meju shegu tos. Jadi sang ngesu cagu segdu. Mili mili kasih dakui zaman segdu.
And so I don't mind sharing the information about myself. It's something to do with my health issue. Not a big concern. But I have got an eye problem, and I went to see a doctor. I need to see again a few times, and he suggested that I need to go through all the, you know, the procedure. And although I could see, but he said it's better to go through examination and whatever other things he needed to do. So he said I need to rest my eyes for a while, should not use them, you know. So because of that, so I won't be teaching for a couple of weeks. Until January 14, not 7, 14, I said, whatever. If that's a Sunday, you know.
Tita, ane, chorang chande, zanyi ma lang yun na, ane ngay, chue shee ki batin zu, ane, tiri, tengres, television nang tong, ane chasuk de.
And so also, you know, that if people would like to come here for Sundays, you know, what we'll do is we have recorded teachings, you know, Venerable Tharzo Anela will be in charge of that, and we'll show the video. Recorded teachings of Geshe-la. Yes, you can come and listen, you know.
That can say the social that Namjin, social any time day, young but some mind be social Ninta Riki, social Rantone, any Ranzosi at Kitaki Chambers.
Because I do appreciate you making efforts to come here, attend the teachings, all that. That's really important and good. But at the same time, You know, it's important for us to do study as well, whatever we could. You know, it's not enough just to attend teaching and then we don't, you know, study on our own. So we need also make time to do studies. So I know that many of you make time, you know, to do your study and do practice every day at home. So that's very good. So I would emphasize that, you know, make a schedule, you know, of your study time and practice time, so that every day, you know, you make some time to do study and practice.
Cousin Herman, if you guys, that you say, 니가 그 주소 니가 기도 왔 주소 니가 주소 제일 내가 생각한다 주소 기도도 왔어 다 기도 그때는 안 다니 아니 딱 무슨 거니 아니 소소 교시할 때 교수 순 딱 이 된 마탄이 잡았을 때
I think I must have said this once before that all of us have in the same amount of time, you know, there are 24 hours in a day. Of course, 8 hours we need to sleep, so that's out. Now we are left with 16 hours.
8 hours
and,
work?
You know, 8 hours we need to work, right? And now out of this other eight, at least we should find 2 hours to study and practice. Okay?
That is so pa zogur mato, so se joyungu si gabi na?
So I think as you have a saying, you know, you have to make time, right? If you just kind of think like it's going to happen on it, so it's not going to happen. You know, so we need to make time for our study and practice. So that's really important. So make it a part of our schedule, daily schedule. I need to do my study and practice,
you know.
So as you know, practitioners of Buddhist teaching, we also need to really, how should I say, cultivate our faith and trust in Shakyamuni Buddha as our teacher and in his teachings. I think, did you say that tomorrow you are leading a meditation? Okay. So those who come to the meditation, tomorrow Venerable Tharzo is leading meditation and then she will announce if there's going to be next one or not or whatever.
Okay.
And also Kishore says right after the teaching he has a guest visiting him, so you know, you may postpone your visit to him today. Tibetan is visiting him.
Oh yeah, tang aran samalo chuchin shimi gevet ola teni sanji jitemba robot ta ji gure de ne pata.
By the power of our collective merit, may Dharma, the source of benefits and happiness, flourishes throughout the universe. May His Holiness the Dalai Lama and all other great holy beings and masters live long and be successful in fulfilling their visions benefiting sentient beings. May spiritual communities throughout the world and spiritual practitioners from all traditions remain healthy, harmonious, and be successful in fulfilling their spiritual aspirations. May these and other world environments be free of all kinds of unwanted pains and problems, and may beings find peace, happiness, prosperity, and spirituality. Last but not least, we dedicate our collective merit, positive energy, for all kind mother sentient beings to be free from the fears and dangers of two types of mental obscuration and may we all reach complete enlightened state quickly.
Shinjo Rambo, Jamaja, Bana, Major, 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 Jamaja
Sanye yendo mede gomaye,